Blog Talk Radio.
Present the Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we are back. It's serious as a heart attack. Real quick, before we go on with tonight's show, thank you to our favorite psychic. Everybody loves her, Michelle Palmieri. Go check her out on Facebook and reach out to HealingMedium1 at gmail.com, pardon me. And she will be back in July, and she loves hanging out with us. And I love that she gives you guys free readings because you guys love it. And it's just great. And everybody loves her. So, but tonight, I'm excited. I was a huge fan of hers. And if you were growing up in the 90s or remember classic commercials from the 90s, you will remember our guest tonight, and she is more powerful today than she was then. Without further ado, let's welcome to the show Miss Wendy Kaufman, the Snapple Lady. Wendy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, sweetie. It is so great to be here, Joanne. I know that we've worked on this for a long time.
Yes. We finally made it happen. Well, listen, you are Miss World Traveler these days. So, I mean, we are Facebook friends, folks, and Wendy has been all over the place. And where are you today?
Well, I'm actually in Las Vegas right now. It's a long story. But I had, you know, a fabulous rental place, you know, in the Berkshires, and a company came in and gave me an offer that I just couldn't refuse, which was fantastic because it gave me no responsibility anymore. So I decided, Joanne, to rent a place out west and to get a different perspective. And just, you know, I'm getting older. You know, we all are getting older. And, you know, I just want to see things. I've been in the East Coast my whole life, and it's time for me to travel and do everything that I had hoped for. COVID, you know, stopped the world. Now I'm doing it again, Joe.
Yeah. Now, you were just in India, I think, right?
Yes, the opportunity came up. My husband does some business with them, and he said, why don't you, you know, join me there? Yeah. And I'm like, listen, I said, I have tickets for the longest time to see an old band. You may remember them, you may not, called Nectar. And they were playing out in Long Island, and there was just no way that I was not seeing this band because I think that, you know, they're finished like everybody else is, which is why I ended up in Las Vegas, but we'll talk about that later. I wanted to see them. So I said, I will go to India, but I have to be back Sunday morning because we have tickets at my father's place to see Nectar. So I want you to know we get the award for traveling the first from New Delhi, India, to go to Glen Cove, Long Island.
Oh, my God. I'm sure the show was great. I mean, I hope it was worth it. He gave up India.
You know, I was there for a week, and honestly, I was a little bit afraid and tentative, although it's very alluring in so many ways. But I wanted to see the Taj Mahal, which is one of the great love stories of all time. Most people don't know, you know, it's a mausoleum, you know, to a great love of a king, you know, from that time. And I wanted to ride an elephant, which, you know, I just had to do. In January, I had been over in Israel, and I rode a camel, so
wow.
I had to do an elephant, and so I did that, and I went on a little bit of a leopard safari,
oh,
and I wanted to see some of the amazing, you know, temples, the Hindu temples, and learn more about it. And it was, you know, it was a wonderful trip. I have to say the most fascinating thing about it, which you can't even describe, is the traffic, because you have pedestrians everywhere. You have, you know, the bicycles like New York,
yeah.
and you have, you know, the electric
bicycles. Yeah.
But on top of it, you have these things called tuk-tuks, which are like sort of, you know, nicer golf carts. But you
yeah.
have like 15 people hanging off of them. And then when they're not in the way, you have the trucks and you have cows, herds
oh
of
my
cows.
God.
And if you
oh.
hit a cow, forget about it, because they are holy. So you end up in jail if you hit a cow. Forget about the person. If you kill a person, nobody cares. But hit
that's
a cow, like, it's a whole other story.
That's like here with dogs. You know, a whole family can be massacred, but then when they say, oh, the dog was killed, everybody say, oh, not the dog.
The dog or the cat. Oh, my God. You know,
right.
It's like, screw the people.
Right.
But
oh,
save the
God.
Animals.
I know. Well,
I
you
have so
are,
many friends like that.
I know. You are just living your best life. I'm so happy for you. You look fabulous. You are just like an everyday person. And I think that's why you got the Snapple gig. Is that because you were like just an everyday person?
It, you know, that is absolutely true. I mean, you know, the real version of my story is, you know, when I tell the whole truth now, you know, because I feel that I can and I want to empower everybody,
right.
is
right,
that,
right.
you know, I had had, because I'm a child, you know, I was born in 58, so, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and by the 80s, I, too, had a cocaine problem, and I knew I was really, really sick, and I was working for my family business, and I had, you know, I my family had an intervention with me, and I immediately was so grateful about it, and I went away, and my 28 days turned into 45, which then turned into a 10-month ordeal, because I ended up, you know, at a you know, at a community that, you know, that I needed to be at, a therapeutic community.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I came back, I got thrown out of my family business, needed a sober job, and Arnie Greenberg, who knew the story and knew me, had so much faith in me, Joanne, and believed so much in second chances, and he believed in me more than I believed in myself, and he started me. He got approval by his partners, because there were really no family and friends at Snapple at the time, and he you know, let me learn all the flavors and work with the distributors. And from there, I recognized the letters were coming in, and nobody really wanted to deal with anything extra that they had to deal with already. And, you know, and I realized for my recovery, the best thing for me to do was to stay out of my own head and to do nice things for other people. So it was like this whole world opened up for me, and Arnie let me do it. And it was a thrilling time. And, you know, I wrote my ticket, and then it was noticed, and we got a new ad agency, and they saw what I was doing, and they just said, oh, my God. And she's fantastic. And Arnie approved it. You know, there were plenty of fights about it, because I was the fat girl in the order department in the beginning. But I got to tell you, the funny part of the story is when I called up my parents to tell them that I was going to be the star of the Snapple oncoming campaign, my mother screamed to my father, Ronnie, she's back on drugs, you know.
I was just going to say, they probably said, she's doing drugs again.
I know, it was so funny, because, you know, and I really understood, but I really got sold into the business, because at that point, Oprah was heavy and Roseanne was heavy, and they were both, you know, they were all type A personalities.
At that time, people were into working out, but it wasn't like now, fanatical, where you've got to be a size 2 to get attention, you know? Back then, we were normal. We were normal.
We were normal.
Size,
and you know what?
A size 12 was okay. A size 14 was okay. And even higher was okay. You people respected each other for their person, not their looks, you know? Just crazy.
100%. It's just so funny because now, you know, with the correct and the right and everybody's fighting for their piece of the pie, you know, the fat people, whatever. I mean, I, you know, was always heavy my whole life, you know, and when you really look introspectively at one's life, I mean, my parents thought that it was hilarious that when I could walk and go to the park while I was two, I was beating people up and taking their ice cream cones. You know, in hindsight, I do realize that by two, I was definitely a confirmed addict. But, you know, and aside from that, at 6 weeks, I was on my first diet. So that says a lot about my personality. But, you know, but, you know, after, when COVID happened, well, before COVID, you know, my parents were sick and I, you know, was going back and forth to Florida, you know, because we become a certain age and we have to caretake and do the right thing.
Yeah.
So I did my time and I'm so blessed and filled with gratitude, Joanne, that I had time. And, you know, it's so meaningful and you can't really explain it to anybody unless you've been through it. You know how cathartic it is because when people who you love and cherish pass and you've been there the whole way, you know, like you can look at yourself and there's no guilt. There's just pure love.
You're going to think this is crazy. When we had the psychic on the other night, in between calls, she read me and we brought, something came up about my mom and you know, but towards the end, I was her caregiver and I can actually live with no guilt now because, I mean, we bonded and everything like that. And like you said, it's just a beautiful thing, you know, it's a stressful thing, but in the end, it's a beautiful thing to be that caregiver.
Exactly.
You know, so
it's you're given an opportunity. And while it is very, very stressful going through it, You know, when it was all over, like, honestly, I never looked in the mirror with any kind of guilt because I knew that I was the best daughter that I could be. And you know what? In the end, I was able to have, fortunately, an adult relationship with her in the end, you know, and, you know, it's like, you know, while everything, you know, prior to that is still there, you know, when I think of my mother, I think, that, you know, of her in the adult version, not the perception of the young child, you know, because that's always there also, but it's so important, you know, to move forward. It just is. So I'm glad that you had a good experience.
Yes, I did. I did. And like I said, I wasn't a horrible child. I just, you know, I was sarcastic, put it that way, and it, which she didn't deserve, you know. And like you said, towards the end, I have no guilt whatsoever. I'm happy to do. I was happy to do as my mother, you know, so whatever. But
you were young. So we do what we do. And then what happened after that is I realized, you know, because I was so heavy, you know, and I had gained a lot of weight along the way that I'm 5'2", got to 250 pounds. And you know what? It's not okay. It's not okay. So I'm going to be the bad, politically incorrect person. And you know why it's not okay? Because you're not healthy. And you know what? If you want to live and you want to be okay and you want to be there for the people that love you, it's not okay. So I'm saying this as a fat person, and I'm still a fat person, and it's, you know, and I'm sorry. I will fight anyone. You know, I was, you know, a fat kid at, you know, at a point in my life if you were healthy. But in the end, like I just want to say, it catches up to you. I ended up having, you know, a heart problem. I got a heart attack, you know, almost 2 years ago, which I'm fine about, thank God. All is well. But I decided I also had crappy knees. You know, I could barely walk because of what I did to my knees. You know, after a while, they were screaming at me. So that was the first thing that I did is I went to the hospital of special surgery, and I did two knees at the same time because
oh my
I
God.
Am a rock star. And you know what? And that was the beginnings of me healing myself and saying, you know what? Enough of this crap and enough of this, you know, trying to, you know, make it okay because it's not okay. And during COVID, I lost a lot of weight and, you know, walked every day. And I'm so grateful because
it's
now
Wendy
I
time.
Am a I'm between a size 10 and 12. And you know what, Joanne? I will take it.
Absolutely.
Anytime, any place, and I don't have to be a size 2. I'm never going to be a size 2.
Right.
But you know what? I can be great and at a size 10, 12.
Yep. Always love myself for
me, too. So that's what I've been
and
doing.
That's what you have to do. You got to love yourself for you. And I always say the secret to a happy person, don't look in the mirror and don't get on a scale. Just love yourself for what you feel in your heart and mind. You know, that's always been my opinion, to be quite honest. You know, listen, I'm not a gorgeous woman, but I'm confident enough to think that I am a gorgeous person. You know what I'm saying? So
can I tell you something? We are all God's creatures. So all beautiful in our own ways.
That's right.
But I'm going to humbly say to you, you know, that's such a huge part, you know, Joanne, of my sobriety and staying sober. And I've been sober for 34 years was the moment that I was looking in the mirror. And instead of seeing the imperfection, what I did see was the sparkle in my eye.
Beautiful.
And I swore that I was never going to lose the sparkle. And since that moment, I have never seen the imperfections. Yeah, do I see a hair from a beard that I, you know, that I'm starting to get when you get older? You start getting like, you know, woman beard. I'm like, what the hell is this? I have no hair on my, like, my arms, my legs. And all of a sudden, I have a beard. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Right. Yeah, well, I look like my mom, but I got my beard from my dad, right?
Years ago, my father said, if you eat your vegetables, you'll grow hair on your chest. And now I'm like, you didn't tell me I was going to get a white beard.
Oh, my God. God, I know it's horrible. It happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. Oh my God! But listen,
but
back
when I was
back,
home,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I just wanted to say, when I was home, I'm a fanatical Broadway person. I'm a fanatical New York person. I'm a fanatical singing in the car to every Broadway show person. I have family that are in shows, you know, so I have friends that have family in shows. So I did go see, which I just have to say to you, I did go see Annalie, Josh Groban, you know, and Sweeney Todd the last go-round, like a few weeks ago. So I just wanted to share that. That's my latest New York story.
Yeah. Well, I'm a New Jersey girlfriend. We could get together sometime. I'd love to see you.
You know what? When I'm back in town, because right now, if I can be here 2 years, I'm planning on that. But I go back and forth all the time, you know, because I'm still New York.
Of course. You're never going to get the New York out of you. That's for sure.
100%.
I just got back from Arizona, and it was gorgeous, but I definitely don't want to live there.
Didn't you have a wedding or something?
Yes, my sister got married, and then we wound up all over the state doing all other kinds of crap, and I'm like, oh, my God, get me home. But it was beautiful.
Did you love it? Did you have a great time?
We did. We had a lovely time. The wedding was beautiful. It was actually, she's been married a few times. This was the best one that she's had. So we had a nice time, and then we did a lot of things in Arizona. We got married, where'd she get married? In Lachlan, Nevada.
She was over the border by me. Okay.
She did it in Lachlan, and it was out on the water, which we went up and down the whatever water that is. I guess it's the Colorado River. I'm not even sure now that I think about it. And it was very nice. And then we went for dinner and went to see a Rolling Stones tribute band who were phenomenal. They were great. And, of course, there was gambling involved, so I was happy about that. And then we drove back to Arizona and stayed there and drove from one end to the other to the, what do you call it, the Skywalk on the Grand Canyon. I was nauseous. It scared the hell out of me, but I did it. I wasn't going to do it. I did it. And then we wound up at the canyons, Antelope Canyons in Page. I mean, we were
really
I'm
dying to go to Antelope. Bryce is my favorite, but I've seen pictures of Antelope, and I must get there, and I will get there sooner than later. But, you know, I want to go again. One time, years and years and years ago, I went to Sedona. I mean, we have
gorgeous.
Such a gorgeous country, you know,
yes.
And it's just a shame because so many people never get to leave, you know, the real perimeters of their hometowns
right.
or whatever.
Right.
But we are
right.
so blessed with, it's so gorgeous, America.
Yes,
yeah, so,
Sedona.
But Antelope is
beautiful, too. Yeah.
But, you know, when I went to Sedona, now this has got to be like 40 years ago. I'm not even kidding. And I was taking pictures out of my friend's car window, you know, hanging out the passenger side.
Oh,
and
God,
a police sheriff pulls up behind with a light, you know, and I think, what did my friend do? And he comes to my side of the car and tells me to get out. And I'm like, what in the world? And he gave me a $100 ticket, are you ready, for being a protruding load. And I said to the guy, because I was hanging out the window taking pictures, and I said to him, you know, I have been called a lot of things before, proudly resent, and never have been referred to as a protruding load.
Oh my God.
I have story after story like that. So it just cracks me up. It's been a
God.
Life well lived so far.
Yeah.
Great stories.
Do you ever sit down and write a book about your life, or are you planning to?
You know, I have thought about it and worked on it on and off for the last 15 years, and I have the title. I know exactly what it's going to be. And, I, you know, after I get off, I'm going to probably call up my friend Jane, who I'm writing it with, a dear friend of mine, because she's just, you know, perfect for me. And I don't have the focus, quite frankly, but it's called From Coke to Snapple, My Life and Answers, because
Very
it's the
cool.
story of everything.
Right. I love it, from Coke to Snapple.
Of everything.
Yeah.
But I would love, and I think it would help so many people, because there's just always hope, and people, you know, just give up, and they get really frustrated, you know, with life on life's terms, and it's not easy. But I just want to tell you that, you know, the harder it is sometimes, the most rewarding it can be also.
Yeah, and you are you still involved with helping people with addiction? I believe I read somewhere that you were involved with helping folks in New Jersey with at a facility.
I was on a board for many, many years, and I just, you know, stepped down off of the board. I had to take a little bit of a break. But my whole life, Joanne, you know, people know me. People stop me. People ask me. I'm like a super connector, you know, person who helps people along the way. And it's just funny because that's the whole goal of why I ended up in this place. So Snapple helped facilitate some of it. And, you know, just by being me helps facilitate some of it. But, you know, that's what I do is that, you know, you just have to be there. So I have helped a lot of people in my life. I've had the pleasure. And I just feel very blessed, you know, that I'm able to. And that people trust me enough to tell me.
Exactly. What is Wenstock?
Okay, so when I turned 60, it was a cause for celebration because I believed, you know, up until a certain time that I was never going to live past 31. So when I turned 60, every 10 years I have a grand birthday party. So this was one of my very, very dear friends is a woman by the name of May Pang, who happens to have a documentary out now.
I've been trying to get her on the show when she had the documentary out. She said she would come, and then I never heard from her again.
You know what? You will. She was so busy. She was so inundated with everything.
Yeah.
But she and I have a lot of mutual friends, and she knew for my 60th, you know, and she always did like a Labor Day barbecue over at a place in Connecticut called the Carriage House, which is a phenomenal, you know, studio there that is just very, very special. So anyhow, I asked her if she would allow me to kidnap her, you know, a Labor Day party, because my birthday is September 6th, so it's a Labor Day birthday, and
very
it was
nice.
Her pleasure, and she sort of hosted it, you know, and I, of course, took care of what needed to be taken care of. But what we usually do, well, what she usually does with the Carriage House is they have all sorts of food. I ended up catering, you know, an enormous amount of food and having wait staff and a tent and the whole nine yards there. But her friends from the music business, you know, that play all day. It starts at like noontime, and it's a huge barbecue affair, and it goes to like 10. So she let me have Wenstock. So it was a one-day festival of love, celebration. Yeah, and that was my 60th birthday.
Very nice. Well, happy belated birthday, right?
Well, now it's already going to be 65. So I wanted to do something crazy, but you know what? The venue, you know, sort of didn't get back to me. So I think that I'm going to do something a little crazy, and I think I'm going to do a 66th birthday based upon Route 66.
Oh, great idea.
So I like that, you know, so I'm thinking of that, and I decided, you know what, let me do another trip, so I'm going to go to Iceland.
Oh, my goodness. Well, why not? Why not?
Why not? I figure, you know what, I could take a nice thermal bath over at the Blue Lagoon and hang out.
Right, exactly. Oh my God!
It's only 5 hours, really, by flying. I, you know, I never really thought of it, and it's very, very close. And you know, and I just want to see as many places as I can, you know, while I can. You know, I'm in the best shape that I've been in. So if not now, when? You know,
exactly.
So let's take advantage of it.
Right.
You know, and this is what I worked hard for my whole life.
Exactly. To be happy and to enjoy doing what you're doing. Now, I also saw somewhere that you had a clothing line. Is that still in the works or no?
You know what? That was many, many years ago. You know what? It was something that I did want to do, and I did embark on with a partner. But what happened was it was right at the time when the market crashed in 2008. And it was such a disaster, and we had amazing things. We still have amazing, you know, brand new innovative ideas that still haven't been done before. But you know what? It was just a time that everybody was dying back in 2008. It was awful. So, you know, I just, you know, sort of put that at the side, and that was the end of that. Oh, well, you know, you try different things. Some work out, some don't.
Some
that
don't.
That was one that didn't.
Yep. Now, let's go back to Snapple. Okay, let's go back to Snapple.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Now you were working there, you said, in the order department, and you saw the mail coming in. Now, I believe, what were they doing? Just form letters to folks, and then you just started answering the mail. But isn't there a little story behind you writing a fan letter to somebody and that kind of gave you the gung-ho reason to write people back and give them that personal feel?
100%. Yep, you're right on it. Well, first off, just so you know, that we were growing so fast that nobody was answering the mail. I know that it sounds crazy, but, you know, the bills went to the accounts payable, you know, and accounting, you know, the people that own the business, you know, they got their you know, mail, which had to do with sales and contracts and, you know, advertising and all of that stuff. And the people that were in sales, they were not interested in answering the mail. But we started to get enormous amounts of letters from the community because we were part of a community out in Long Island. And we needed to respond to the people from our community that were reaching out. So I did go to Arnie. You know, and the story was, Joe, is that when I was a teenager, or maybe a little less than a teenager, I was a huge fan of the Brady Bunch. And Greg Brady was it for me. And, you know, back in the day, there was Tiger Beat Magazine, and they would have these contests to meet Greg Brady.
And
so
go on
I
a date
wrote,
sometimes.
And go on a date, right? Go on a date.
Win a date with Lace Garrett, or you know, remember those? Oh my God,
100%. And that was the only time I just decided I am going to win this date, you know, with Greg Brady. And what happened was, is I wrote my one and only fan letter of why I should be the date. And of course, I did not win. But when the letters started coming in for Snapple, I realized, you know, these people are taking the time to really write to us. And the only reason you would write and spend that time to somebody is because of a profound care and love for the product, the person, something. So a bell went off in my head, and I went to Arnie and I said, you know, these letters are coming, and I think that it's really – you know, wrong of us to not be addressing who our fans are. I mean, this is our core base. I said, I really missed the computer, you know, learning in my education because I was born a touch too early for it. But I asked him, would you help me to go back to school so I can learn how to deal with all these letters that are coming in and take care of it? And he said, do what you need to do. I'm 100% behind you. And I actually started to get all of the corporate mail. So it was donations. It was community stuff. It was product placements. It was dealings.
Were you the Snapple lady yet? No, you were just doing the letters.
No, I was completely getting sober, and I was completely devoted to helping other people to get the information that they needed, to helping in the business, to doing nice things for others in the community, to doing donations. So I went to Arnie, and I got a budget, and I just said, I want to do this, and literally stood on a chair in the office and made myself the head of public relations because I could publicly relate. And they gave me, you know, they doubled my salary because they knew, you know, I was taking it all on because I had the time, I had the energy, I wanted to succeed, to prove to myself that I was worthy, you know what I'm saying, and that I would eventually, you know, get, you know, I would really see the results of recovery, you know, because there's something called the promises. And I remember reading The Promises for the first time and crying and closing the book because I never believed that I would ever even attain anything like The Promises of AA. But anyhow, that's what happened, is that they really sort of let me go, and I did that at first. And then what happened was is that we were growing the brand, and we got a investor who came in, and he, you know, bought 51% of the business, and with him came new staff. So I had a new boss. The head of the head of marketing became my new boss, and he was completely intrigued by me. And when the new agency people started to come in, he said, you know, I think you gotta see this girl and what she's doing, because I think that we have a campaign built in what she's doing. And that's really how it all happened. You know, and I was only at Snapple for basically a year before they really scouted me out and said, oh my God. And I was only a year and a half sober when they put all that money behind me in the national campaign. Wow. So that's why it was just an extraordinary feat. But I do want to tell you that Barry Williams did know about my great love for him and how he changed my life.
And what
I
happened?
Did get to meet him.
Nice. I've been trying to get a Brady on the show forever too. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. That's so funny. But, you know, well, we'll talk, you know, we'll see who we can find for you. But,
in any event,
I went on to the Stephanie Miller show, you know,
yep.
She was a comedian and she had a really funny show. And I went on and I sort of, you know, was doing my regular Snapple shtick. And all of a sudden, this guy in a tuxedo comes out with 24 roses, and it's him. And it's the first time in my life that I was speechless.
Oh, my God.
I almost died right there on the stage of that television show.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what, Wendy? You are a people person. You're real. You know, you're not putting on an act. You are not an actress. I mean, you've done some acting roles, but you were not an actress at the time. You were just a regular, ordinary person, and you were being real with everybody. And I think that's why everybody fell in love with you. That's why I loved you on the commercials. I mean, I'm a Jersey girl. I had all the commercials playing all the time. And I got a confession. Don't hate me. I've never tried a Snapple in my life.
Listen, don't worry about it. You know, I mean, I haven't even tasted all the flavors, so don't worry about it. You know, not everybody tries a certain drink. You know, it was funny because now that you're saying that, like I remember I couldn't just drink Snapple. So when I was doing, you know, when I was doing my, you know, my contracts with them, you know, like I had to have a clause in it that I could drink Starbucks coffee and I could drink water and that I could drink ginger ale when I was out because, you know, they were non-competing.
Right. God forbid somebody saw you drinking something else.
Exactly. And I remember, you know, Michael Jackson, he was promoting back in the day Pepsi, and he loved Disneyland and Disney World. And he had gone to one of the places, and you could only get Coca-Cola products there.
Mm.
So people were taking pictures of him with Coke products. So he got in a lot of trouble.
I remember that.
He taught me everything that I knew about navigating the world. I'm just grateful that it was before all cell, you know, phones and cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even when I would go to the movies, you know, when I was sort of on the cusp of it, my husband would buy the sodas. Even when I would go to Costco or BJ's to go shopping, you know, he always did the checkout, you know, because I could never be seen, you know, buying other beverages because not everybody drank Snapple. You know?
Right. There's a Snapple lady.
I understand.
There's a Snapple lady buying Coke.
And you could still love the commercials and not buy the brand. That's okay.
Right. Well, for me, I'll tell you why I never tried one. I just had a hard time drinking an iced tea a different color. I said, iced tea is supposed to be brown. That's the only reason I never tried it. I'm going to go buy a Snapple.
You know what? There were different flavors, and some of our flavors were not brown, but our iced teas, you know, basically were all brown. So, our sodas were different colors, but, you know, our lemonade lines were different colors. Our juice brands were all different colors, but the tea was the tea. But we did have one tea that was like a light tea.
Yes. The lemon
one,
right?
We did. The lemon one was brown, but we did have, and I forgot what it was, but it was like a green tea. It was a green tea, and a green tea is a light tea, so it was a different color.
Yeah. And I'm so weird. I'm like the type of person, you know, you don't go to a Chinese restaurant and order pizza or, you know, a hamburger is not a veggie burger. A hamburger is a hamburger. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. It has nothing to do with this, with the taste of Snapple. I know it's probably delicious. I mean, it's been around forever. So, you know, it's just me.
You know,
I have a weird sense of thinking. That's all.
It's funny because now, really, you know, like I'll buy a Snapple apple every now and again, you know, but what I love, you know, that I just, you know, that I do appreciate, I do enjoy the half and half. I do love like the lemon tea with mixed with lemonade, the half tea, half lemonade. That's a great flavor for me.
Yeah, you know? Like an Arnold Palmer.
Exactly. Love that. You know, but it's funny. We invented kiwi strawberry. We invented some really great flavors. But you know what? It's funny. I've tasted kiwi strawberry, but I was not a huge fan of that. Our type A flavor was mint tea. The mint tea fans were the craziest. You know, that when they discontinued it, I was totally worried.
Wow.
Good reason, because they were the most vocal out of anybody. Flavor, the mint was the crazy ones, but I love them.
Right. Well, for you guys out there who don't remember, Wendy did do the commercials, not only about talking about Snapple, obviously, but she would read the letters, and then she'd have the people who wrote the letters come on the commercial too. Tell us, what was the craziest letter you ever got?
Well, you know, it's funny because letters were different than the letters that we used in the commercials. But I do have to tell you, when I got to Las Vegas, and this is the best part of my job, is that I affected so many people's lives, and so many lives affected mine. And I just, one of the commercials we did was called Actor, and the guy that was the star in Actor was a guy by the name of Peter Papagiorgio. And just ironically, he lived in New York City, and he lives out in Las Vegas. So about 2 months ago, I met him and his wife and had lunch with them after 30 years. You know what I'm saying? That he was in a commercial. And, you know, it was just so much fun hearing about his life. And, you know, I knew that Shane the Wonder Dog, you know, his family and parents got a hold of me when Shane passed away. That was the dog that when he would hear a Snapple open, he would come running, except when they shot it. He didn't move, you know, like they were just such great, you know, commercials. But I think that the standout commercials for me, there was a guy, Teddy, who was a weightlifter, and we were going to let him keep everything that he could lift. And when he opened his voice, you know, to talk at the end of the commercial, he's like this built Arnold Schwarzenegger guy, you know, and all of a sudden he was taking so many steroids that his voice was so high-pitched, you know, that it was really funny to me, you know, because of all the steroids. But Lie Detector was another one. A kid, you know, he sent
I remember that
one. You know,
one.
He said, "I swear I am not lying. It's the best tea," you know, so we gave him a lie detector test. That was a favorite. And then we had Mayor Koch on one of our commercials, which was extraordinary. And Buzz Aldrin was in one of our commercials, which was extraordinary. I'm so lucky, Joanne. You know what?
Yeah.
It's so amazing when you're with a company you love, much less it being a company you can be so proud of.
Right.
But my favorite letter... to the side, one of my favorite letters that came, there were two that were really, you know, in my head. One was a guy sent me a naked picture of him sitting on a wood pier holding a Snapple. And I just remember thinking if he moved the wrong way, he would get a splinter in his ass. So I sent him immediately, you know, a shirt to tell him to cover up. but it was very funny, you know, the whole thing. And then the other one that I just loved is, you know, and it was the first time, aside from the commercials, that I really started visiting people. Well, visiting people, actually there's two more. One who said that he graduated college because of Snapple, because it kept him up for his studying at night. So I literally went to his graduation and surprised him, which was unbelievable.
Oh, nice.
And that was extraordinary. And then another one, this was outside of Philadelphia, a kid challenged me to a Snapple drinking contest, but he didn't realize, like I realized, that mixing Snapple flavors is much like mixing alcohol.
Yeah, not a good idea.
And it was not a good idea. So he beat me, but he beat me mixing flavors, and the poor kid got so sick, you know, but I took good care of him, and, you know, we got him better and everything, and it was worth it for him in the end.
Oh, man. You had such a fun time. My goodness. Oh, man. To be Wendy during the Snapple years at that time. Are you still a Goodwill ambassador, or you have no ties whatsoever now?
You know what, in 2008, when the whole world crashed, you know, that was when, I had a lunch with them, you know, and they said that they were going to, you know, send me something to work with me for appearances, and how they really did it, you know, they had been, trying to get rid of me for a long time, but I was so lucky because my kids were getting older, they were getting jobs at VH1, at MTV, and then I became a staple on VH1 because they had me on Celebrity Fit Club for two seasons, and I was part of all I Love the 90s, and the guy that was, you know, the vice president there, a guy by the name of Jim Ackerman, he's one of the great career loves of my life, that he just put his arm around me, and he just was so kind and so good, and it was hard for Snapple to get rid of me because I just kept re-emerging in a different, you know, way. So it took them 18 years, but in 2008, I met them for a lunch in New York, and afterwards, they sent me a contract, and it was for appearances, but what they did is they wouldn't guarantee any appearances, which I knew meant that they never were going to give me any appearances.
Yeah,
so I thought that they could have done it in a nicer way, and I thought that they could have been more decent after all the time and love that I had for the brand. But you know what? It was what it was. And don't forget, you know, it's 30-some-odd years ago, and I really am the poster child. Most people don't realize this, but I was the most powerful woman by accident in a male-dominated beverage business. There were no women in the beverage business. And they couldn't get rid of me fast enough.
Not only that, you took their sales from here to there. You skyrocketed sales. I mean, how ungrateful. I'll say it. You don't have to say it.
But I was a woman who infiltrated a man's business. So that's why my book would be so interesting. Because, you know, I was of a different time and a different generation, but my, I was on the cusp of being the first in reality television, commercials. That was my venue. And also being one of the first women to really break the first glass ceiling, although I hit my head on the next glass ceiling, because I would go to the corporate offices and they would put their arms around me. And I knew that it was disingenuous, and I knew that they were just putting their arms around me, looking for the soft spot where they were going to eventually insert the knife. I mean, that was the way that it was in business.
Wow.
So I have many, many interesting stories about it.
Yeah,
and I'm a wealth of real information about marketing all through the 90s. And, you know, it's changed now, but, you know, I was definitely part of the change and where we've come so far today as females.
Right. When is the anniversary of Snapple's creation?
You know what? I believe, I think that it happened in about 1972, you know, and I haven't really thought about this in about 1972. And they started, you know, it was three friends that started this business. Two of them were brother-in-laws, and they were in the window washing business, if you can believe that. And one, Arnie, who was my guy, he had a family business down on like First Avenue down in the East Village, which was like a slum back then. You know, it was not a good area, but they had a family store called Greenberg's, and they made fresh juices. And, you know, one of the two brother-in-law window washers, they were boyhood friends, and they came together, and they started a company called Unadulterated Foods, which, you know, they were doing chickens and natural foods, you know, through Arnie and everything, because that was the wave of the future, healthier. And then they came up with Snapple, you know, and they started to take some of the Greenberg's juices that were natural juices. And the first, what I believe to be the first nutraceuticals, they had a juice called Vitamin Supreme, which was a juice that was loaded with vitamins. And that was in the 70s. So I think that they were the forebears of all of this stuff that we have today.
Yeah,
I
believe I recall back then hearing the story about them that they created the drink. And I've either saw it on like a show where they said how Snapple was created, or they actually did a commercial, because I know I remember seeing a story about them.
They named Snapple because they were working on an apple, you know, and on an apple flavor. And that weekend, they put all of the product into, you know, a warehouse. And what happened was it was very, very hot. And all of the apple juice that they had made fermented and exploded. So they came up with the name Snapple from all of the exploded Snapple apple that happened.
Yeah.
You know, the snap of the apple. So, you know, which, you know, started the name Snapple. But, you know, in the beginning, you know, the teas came much later, and of course the lemonades came much later, because they were really in the juice business with Cranberry Royale, Apricot Royale, Vitamin Supreme, you know, and all these, you know, fabulous juice drinks, you know, and mixtures and concoctions that were phenomenal. And they had a soda line, which nobody really remembers. It was clear root beer. So that's what I think you may be thinking of a little bit. It was clear root beer, and it was called True Root Beer, TRU. And then it was like a, you know, they had a cola that was clear, you know, because there were no preservatives or anything.
Right.
And they had a passion. You know, they had all sorts of delicious, delicious flavors. But that was the first things to go when the new companies came in and bought us. You know, and over a period of time, we were like bought 4 or 5 times.
Right.
So it was just impossible for us to be purist at any point, with them changing ingredients, flavors, you know, cutting costs here and there. And now, you know, it's in plastic, you know, which we would have never done. It would still be in glass today.
Right, right. No, the reason I asked when the anniversary is, because it would be great to have you do like the 50th anniversary or something. They should bring you back for the 50th anniversary or something like that, you know?
Well, 72, I would have already missed that. And, you know, and I'm laughing about it, because honestly, it was my commercials that really helped us. I mean,
exactly.
We had great marketing with Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern, who were completely polar opposites. And then I was perfect for going down the middle of the two of them.
Mm.
So it was brilliant. But my commercial started in 1993. So I'm just, you know, the 50th anniversary of 1993 would be, I guess, in 2043. Right?
Oh,
that would be 2043. So they missed the 25th. You know, I thought maybe it would be fun, but you know what? They're really not interested. And you know what? I've gone on, you know, and listen, if they ever came back, it would be fun, absolutely, you know, to meet them again, because I'm sure it's new people, and to talk to them. And it's not the same people that treated me the way that they did back in the day. I don't care. You know, and I'm very forgiving. I don't, but you know, I mean, but it's my babies. You know, I look at the shelf and, you know, you can't help it. But those were all my little babies that I spurred, you know, back in the day.
Right. Are those folks still with us or no? The brothers and
all of my guys, you know, unfortunately are all deceased.
Yeah.
They were all in their 60s, Joanne, when they
at the
became,
time.
You know,
yeah.
wealthy, you know, wealthy entrepreneur, you know,
mm-hmm.
spirits and whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, right now, you know, they would all be in their 90s. You know,
yeah.
I'm 60. So, yeah, but the last 10 years. You know, 15
wow.
years, you know, we lost most of them. Well, we lost
yeah.
all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I
yeah.
have a stupid question for you. Did they give you a lifetime supply of Snapple at the time and the lifetime is over or what?
No, that, you know, when they gave me that letter in 2008, you know, that it was so interesting because I really had to deal with the fact that for the world, I was still recognized, and the Snapple
right.
lady, and
always
cut,
will be.
They just, but they cut cords with me. They never gave me a Snapple again. They were never in touch with me again. And I do remember years later when they went to Glass. You know, this was sort of funny. I called up Snapple marketing, you know, to leave to talk to somebody, to leave them a message and to tell them that I thought that they were doing the wrong thing, that the
yeah.
fans were telling me that they were unhappy, and nobody
right.
even called me back.
They didn't care. Wow.
They don't, they, you know, it had moved on. Not
right.
that they didn't care, because I'm not even sure, pardon me, I'm not even sure that the right person got the message.
Right,
you know,
right.
the world is different today. I don't even
yes.
know if they got a message. But I did call, and I did leave a message and say that it was Wendy, the spokesperson.
Wow. And do they have a problem with you? Like today, I'm calling you Snapple Lady on the show. Do they have a problem with you saying that you are the Snapple Lady?
Well, I was the Snapple Lady, you know, and I am. I'll always be
you
the Snapple
always
Lady.
Be.
There's nothing that they can – there's nothing. What, are they going to sue me? They're going to lose in court. I am the Snapple Lady.
Yeah.
So they don't own me. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm the persona that became that. So,
right.
you know, so there cannot be another Snapple Lady
nope.
in the future. You know, I'm
nope.
it. So,
yeah.
You know, but I don't have anything bad to say about the product. I don't
right.
have anything bad to say about management now.
Right.
I
company
have
or
what
anything.
To say about how I was treated, you know, in 2008. I didn't like
right.
it very much.
Right.
But you
right.
know what? We all move on. You know, I wish
right.
them all well. You know, I want the brand to thrive and succeed because that's the roots of what gave me my sobriety, my life. My babies everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
you know, I want it to be the best that it can be. So I'm
right.
not an enemy of the cause, not at all. I'm their largest proponent that they are not aware that I am their biggest fan.
Exactly. Now, do you still receive letters? And if not, can people send you letters? And if they can, where can they send them?
Well, you know what? People always are able to reach out. I'm
or
easily,
email.
You know, findable on Facebook, you know, where
mm-hmm.
I, you know, meet a lot of people. Joanne,
yep.
I met you there, you know what I'm
yep,
saying?
That's
so
what we
I
met.
Am in
yep.
touch. And, you know, and I love to do that. But, I, you know, I'm my email, because I'm an old dinosaur and I'm just not going to change it, is askwendy@aol.com. And I did
mm-hmm.
ask Wendy years and years ago because everybody was asking me over at Snapple, you know, what, so I'm Ask Wendy. And, you know, I'm easy to find. And I
nice.
Try to talk to everybody and answer everybody. Because I'm too only a human being, and I, you know, I care about my fellow people.
Right. We need more Wendy's in this world. That's for sure.
You know what?
We surely
it's so,
do.
Not, you know, I think of the time that we were in, and I think about how fun we, you know, how much fun we all had together, And I think that you're right. I think that it would be so wonderful to go back and to have, you know, a campaign. But the world is so fragmented. Nobody watches the same shows anymore. Nobody watches the same news anymore. Everybody gets different information. Some censored, some not. Everybody thinks everything is political, you know, and it's just such disjointed, horrible times. And this was something that pulled people together. It was loving. It was fun. And you know what? And even if people disagreed, you could agree, you know, to disagree. Like, I remember that there was a detention commercial, you know, which is funny that it comes up in my head. We gave cases to a kid that kept getting perpetual detention.
Oh, I remember getting a letter.
The kid from detention. And I remember that I got a letter from a very upset parent that was offended that we were doing something nice for the detention kid, but what about her kid that was working and getting A's? And, you know, and I wrote to her and I just said, you know, look, there's a time and a place for everything. And while this is awesome about your child, you know, we want to be a little bit fun and irreverent also.
Right.
And you have to respect that, you know.
People
like, it
crazy.
Sickens me now that if, like, Joan Rivers or Don Rickles or any of them were, you know, they would be censored today. It's ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely nuts.
I mean, technology is a great thing. It's done a lot of good, but it's done so much bad. So much bad. It's given people a voice that don't deserve a voice. And, like, people who have platforms and stuff, use your power for good. I mean, I don't get it. Like you, what you did, you used it for good.
It's so funny. Because I was getting 3,000 letters with stamps on them, you know, and I think to myself, my goodness, if I, you know, first of all, you know, it was very, you know, fun and loving, you know, there was always going to be a letter, you know, who is that fat pig, you know, and get her off the air. You know, I always got that, you know, but you have to have a little bit of a thick skin. And I remember the fat pig letter in particular, because
people,
like, the writer of fat pig letter. No, listen, you know, they're idiots. You know, they don't know me. So anyhow, the person that wrote the fat pig letter, I found his telephone number. You know, it was a different time, and I could be just as irreverent. I called him up, and whatever his name was, you know, I said, "Can I speak to, you know?" And he's
"This is
whomever, blah blah blah."
Yeah.
You know, and I just said, "Oh, I'm so glad that I got you." He's like, "Who is this?" I'm like, "What do you mean? You don't know who this is?" He's like, "No, I don't know who this is." I'm like, "It's the fat pig. It's Snapple."
Oh, good for you.
And it just went dead, like the phone, for a minute. And I just said, "You know," I said, "the reason that I'm calling you is because, in all fairness, it is an unfair battle." I said, "Because you know what I look like, but you never sent me a picture of you.
You're right.
I want you to write in the mail, send me a picture of you so I can call you back and have a conversation about what I think about you."
Good for you.
And you know what? He was so ashamed, you know, of being so stupid and short-sighted about, he doesn't know who I am or what I've done or what I'm trying to do, you know, and that's why people are just so intolerant and ridiculous now, because you can have differences of opinion, but just understand you have different perceptions, and that's okay.
Right. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree, but you don't have to chew somebody out over it. We've got too many keyboard warriors, and like that guy, he thought you would never reach out to him or whatever, and I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Good for you.
I love that you say keyboard warriors, because I'll tell you, and I have this conversation with my husband all the time, you know what would knock half of this shit out? If you had to be you, none of this anonymous crap, if you had to write under your name, let's see what big shots everybody is.
Or say it in person. It definitely wouldn't
happen. Say it in person, But if you're going to be a keyboard warrior, let us know who you are. Let us hear what you have to say and hear what a bigot you are behind the scenes and what a hateful, soulless human being you are behind the scenes. So,
are we related?
You know, that
are we
is...
related? Are we related?
it's funny. I'm in a war right now, you know, because I'm not going to stop. You know, I think that there's, I'm not a Twitter person, although if I had been a Twitter person and social media person, but I was a regular letter person, I would have had millions of fans. But now I'm seeing this horror of these poor people. I don't give a crap if they're billionaires. I don't care what they are.
So much hate.
They worked hard. They got where they are, and they wanted to do this trip. And if they have that money that they could afford to do it, so be it, and good for them. The fact that people are so hateful that these people are think that that shows the worst of humanity, because it shouldn't be like that, and that they are humans. They have families and loved ones and workers that adore them and that need them. And how dare anybody judge? They are people that are at the mercy of whatever is happening here. It is heartbreaking, just like it's heartbreaking, the Haitians coming over, the Jews coming over, whatever. But, you know, I go as far as I'm a person, you know, who believes in legal, you know, I have no problem. I take as many legally as possible because I came here legally also. But you know what? That's where I draw the line. And you know what? I want to know who's here. I want to know who's in the country. And I can say it to you because I'm not hiding behind anything. That is my politics because I love America and I want to know who's here. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what's happening in Cuba. I want to know why a balloon flew across this country.
Yep.
I want to know why $89 billion worth of stuff is sitting in Bagram right next door to China. I want to understand, you know, and I resent not being able to know because no true journalists are really being journalists anymore
or else
it becomes political and I want to know the facts.
Yeah, it's all about how many views can you get, how much money can I make, and you know, if you've got no shame, you are capable of anything, and these people have no shame. They have no shame. None whatsoever.
And you know what?
I mean,
all of these people, Joanne, I tell you, all these people, I don't care what party, because you know what? I'm like independent at this point. You know what?
Yep.
I don't care what party, any career politician, you know, they go into office for $150,000 a year and they're all multimillionaires, which should just show you how corrupt all of them are. And you know what?
All of them.
If the two of us, like I worked at Snapple, if there were many times that we disagreed, but our job was to come up with a budget and a plan that we could all work within that would suit everybody. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So concessions were always made that we could be a team and forge ahead together, and we would see what worked, what didn't work, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
In the meantime,
right.
we pay these imbeciles, all of them, that are all in cahoots with each other because they're all in collusion with each other, and this is all bullshit. And you know what? They can't even agree to disagree to do what's right for us. And you know what? I'm so angry, you know, at because
we have to talk about this offline because I got some things to say. And oh, my goodness, I could go crazy about my passion for the country because I can't even tell you. I mean, like you said, I vote Democratic, but I'm American. I care about the country. And I will say one thing that Donald Trump taught me. I kind of thought there was corruption in our government, but boy, do I know how much there is now. I mean, it's just so blatant. It's so blatant. right in front of
my God,
face.
It is
do it
beyond.
Right in front of our face.
And that's why. And that's why. And with complete disregarded, nobody gets punished. Nobody goes to jail. I want to say that if I threw a gun in a trash disposal, which is a felony offense, you would be sitting in jail right now.
Yep.
It's a 10-year minimum for anyone. But you know what? Because you know the right people, and you know what? Ja Rule, and all these rappers, are sitting sitting in jail right now or paid fines, But this one, no, it doesn't. The rules don't apply. Not one person, not one person is in jail in our government. And as far as I'm concerned, on both sides, the whole lot of them should be in jail.
Absolutely. Well, Wendy, how about if you or me got a subpoena and we said no? No, I'm not going to honor that subpoena.
100% we would be locked behind bars.
In a second.
So you know what? Let's start at the beginning about equal justice for equal, equal justice. So as a lifelong Democrat, I am not that anymore. I am ashamed, of all of it. And I'm ashamed on the other side. And, I'm just a very angry American patriot.
Me too. What happened to people like us? Where are they? Where are
they? Oh, they're there. They're there.
I knew we had stupid people in this country. I just didn't know how many.
Until the last seven years. I think, that at some point, I look at Chicago, and I think, oh my God, look at all this crime. Look at every weekend they were giving statistics about how many murders there were.
And you
want to know something? They threw out one that was garbage over there because she did nothing except exacerbate more of a problem.
Yep.
And then they brought in a worse worse progressive. So you know what? Now it's on them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm watching my beloved San Francisco. I met a woman yesterday from Oregon who had to move, couldn't take it anymore. All my California friends are horrified in L.A. I don't even know what's going on except that they're trying to kill the middle class. And they're trying to absolutely make people dependent upon the government. And that is not anywhere where I'm going anytime soon.
I know. Well, we're going to have to talk about this another
time. So we will talk again.
because we don't want to end this on a bad note and get ourselves crazy. We could go on and on and get so crazy about this. And the only reason, and it's passion. That's what it is. It's not anything other than passion for the country that we are used to being. Growing up, I guess the time we did, things were normal. What the hell happened? That's all.
There was empathy.
There.
You cared.
Empathy. People cared for each other.
With a woman, who doesn't feel bad for these guys, that are on that, the submersible. And I'm like, she felt bad. And I'm like, oh my God, you're just a heartless, soulless human being.
I haven't seen any comments, thank God, because I reply to these people like I literally tell them to shut up. I do like McCarthy. I say shut up. I tell them right out, shut up, shut up. I'm gonna have the government knocking on my door one day. Are you Joanne Martin?
I'm 100% going to. Yes, we'll be together. We'll be locked up together.
As long as they send us Snapper, we'll be happy. And I guess I'll finally have to try one.
Can I tell you something? Water, Snapple, and some coffee. I'll be very happy.
You're
throwing a ginger ale.
You're set. Oh, my goodness. Well, Wendy, oh, my goodness. It has been nothing but a pleasure to speak to you. I thank you so very much. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to the person I watched on TV forever. I mean, how many commercials did you actually do? I mean, there really wasn't that many. I mean,
it was over the years. I did like 38, you know, television commercials, and I did like 36 to 40 radio commercials. I did a lot. Yeah, I did a lot.
I know you did. I remember the radio too. Yeah, I remember when you hit radio. Oh, real quick, when you did the commercials, how many takes did it take? Because you're just natural. So how many takes did one take?
Well, you know what? Like, you know, I would read the letter a couple of times, you know, a couple of different ways. But the funny story behind that is that when I went to college, I was a film major at Syracuse. And my father said, what a waste. What a waste. I'm paying for her to be a film major. Give me a break. And the truth was is that I did not like filmmaking. I shouldn't have been in TV and radio. But the irony was is that I did become, you know, come full circle, because by the time I ended up in front of the camera, I knew what it was to be behind the camera.
Right.
And I knew what they needed. And, and I was never shy. And it was very easy for me to be in front of a camera. It always has been, because I was behind one for so long.
Right, right. Wow. Well,
so
you
easy.
Yeah. I said in my promo that Snapple was made of the best stuff on earth, and you are too. And thank you for being you. And for making that time a better time, even though it wasn't a bad time. And you were just so lovable and yourself. And I love you. I think you're a wonderful person. And my goodness, we definitely have to talk again.
We absolutely will. I promise you. And it was just a true pleasure to get to meet you and to get to know you a little bit better.
Well, I would love, you let me know when you come to New York. I'll be there in a New York minute. I literally am 20 minutes away.
I come just for a few days in July, but I'll be back in the beginning of September for a little bit. And stay in touch with me, and I will absolutely meet you at the very least for a lunch.
Lovely. I would love that. I would love that. And you enjoy Vegas, and now you're going to stay there for what, 2 years, you say, roughly?
You know what? I'll be here hopefully between 2 and 4 years, depending upon how long my home gets rented in the Berkshires.
Got it. There you go.
You know, it's contingent on that.
Wonderful.
Because then I have to come home and run it. But right now, I'm a free agent.
Yeah, well, I promise you I'm going to try it. When I get out, I'm going to buy a Snapple, and I'm going to try it, and I'm going to tell you what I think.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Do it when we're together.
Oh, okay.
Do it when we're together. So then it's something that we look forward to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody, Wendy, you can find her on Facebook, Instagram. Her email is askwendy@AOL.com. If you still want to shoot her an email/letter, she is happy to help in any way she can. Listen to our conversation here. She is as real as can be. She has not changed one bit. And we love you, Wendy. And thank you so very much for joining me tonight. And please, please keep in touch. I would love that.
It'll be my pleasure.
Mine.
Just a wonderful evening. Thank you so much,
Joe.
We will be in touch.
Thank you, honey. Take care. Everybody, Wendy Kaufman. Thank you, Wendy. Wendy, thank you so much. We'll stay in touch. And when that book comes out, you definitely got to come back on the show.
I got to start working on it. I promise. That's part of my Las Vegas mission, to work on the book.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because it's going to be, I love the title. I love the title, From Coke to Snapple.
Thank
you. Great. It's absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So, oh, my goodness. Thank you again. It was a pleasure, hon. Enjoy. And I loved hanging out with you tonight. I can't thank you enough.
Me too. Have a great night. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Take care, everybody. Wendy Kaufman. Bye-bye, Wendy. Have a good night. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
Me too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, honey. Take care. Thank you.
Bye, hon.
Bye. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what a thrill. What a thrill. Oh, I was dying to speak to her. I love pop culture, as you know, with the guests that we have on. So, you know, to speak to these folks is a thrill for me, because they're of interest to me, and I believe they're of interest to you. So I mean, Wendy is as real as you can be. She has not changed one bit, and that's why everybody loved her when she did the commercials, is she was being herself. That was just Wendy. That was just Wendy. Oh, boy, what a great conversation. So anyway, we are booking for July. We should have the calendar up by next week. I'm hoping after the show tonight we'll get all our folks up, our confirmations for dates and who's going to be joining us. And, and for you guys who are listening in on the psychic calls with Michelle Palmieri, we had a technical difficulty. We were in the middle of speaking to someone. I believe her name was Christina. And in the middle of the conversation, we just lost connection. And it's out of my control. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do here. And it's obviously the platform, but it's okay. I like being on this platform. And, if you can deal with it, I can deal with it. So I appreciate your patience, but Michelle will be back. Where's my calendar? We did book another date. Hold on. Ruffle of the feathers. No, it's not top secret documents. Ruffle of the papers. Oh, my God. Me and Wendy, we could talk about politics. Oh, my goodness. About you crazy people in this world. We're going to have a good old conversation. Yeah, Michelle will be back July 16th on Sunday at 8 p.m. for you guys who love Michelle. And I love her because how cool is that, that she's doing free psychic readings for you guys. And everybody loves her. I mean, her readings are on point, and she's really good. And every time she's on, she gives away either a book and free readings, personal readings to a lucky caller. So unbelievable. So I'm going to end tonight with Be Kind, because Wendy is extremely kind, and that's what makes her her. So Wendy, again, Snapple was made from the greatest stuff on earth, and so are you. Everybody, Wendy Kaufman, thank you again for hanging out with me, and we'll be back soon, folks. Maybe not next week, but the following week. So we get our guests all set up for you guys. But we will be back. And we were MIA in June because I went on vacation for the first time in over 5 years. And much needed. And I appreciated it. So have a good night. Have a great weekend. Oh, I'd like to. Maybe we should end with weekend. No. We'll do Be Kind since Wendy was on. All right, guys. Have a good night. Wendy Kaufman, thank you so very much. And if you guys want to reach out to her, go to Facebook. That's where I met her. And she has been speaking to me. And, I mean, she is traveling all over the world. And she took the time to hang out with me tonight, answer my messages. She does. She still does answer messages. And you could email her at askwendy@aol.com as well, Instagram and also on Facebook. So, take care, everybody. Wendy Kaufman, can't thank you enough. What a pleasure. Take care, everybody. We'll see you real soon, I promise. Take care. Bye-bye.